if you get this one down and you have your money in decent investments, you have the right mix of investments, and you cover all those bases, even if you're average at cover all the other areas of financial planning, if you get this one right, it's monstrous, man. It can help you retire a lot sooner because you just avoid taxes and you control them.
That's right. That's right. Staying in good health on the tax front.
Yeah.
It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
Where did it all go? Where did it all go? Where did all the money go? I don't know if you remember this, James, but this just recently occurred at my house. As you know, my son, Nathan, he got his first big boy job out of college.
Congratulations, Nathan.
And Nathan was filling out that thing where, you know, you put down, do you want to put money in a retirement plan? And
how many
deductions? And then he got his first paycheck. And he was like, what the heck? Where did all the money go? Well, the biggest contributor is Uncle Sam. And that dreaded word of taxes. And reminds me of another story of years ago. I was working with my wife, and somehow, like, we were like, where did it all go? She was like, and so I said, I'm going to do a pie chart. I'm going to, like, show us, you know, here's all the money we made, and here's how much went towards this and this. And then there was this big piece of the pie chart that was taxes.
I'm guessing it was the biggest piece of the pie chart.
It was quite large. And it helped answer her question of where did all the money go? So why am I talking about this? Is because we all know what it's like to pay taxes. And I would say unanimously, we'd like to minimize that if at all possible. And so we want to help you today win the tax game. It's kind of like, how you feeling today, James? First, how you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, you know?
You haven't been feeling good recently, right? I mean, you were a little under the weather, and so was I.
Yeah, I was about 2 weeks. I've had under the weather conditions with the changing environment. So yeah, it's, you know, never fun. Never fun.
Now, long term, there are things we can do physically so we feel better, right? Mm-hmm. And possibly live longer. I mean, what are some things that we could do to help us?
Well, I've been teaching my son this already, but okay. We can eat healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can sleep well.
Yeah, that's a big one, right?
Get some exercise.
Don't smoke.
Don't smoke.
Right. Try to not be too overweight, right? So there's a lot of things physically that we can do, steps we can take. There's some things we can't do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all going to eventually pass, but we can do some things to elongate our life. And we want to do the same thing for you today when it comes to your financial life, your financial picture. You can control taxes to a certain extent, and we want to help you do that today so you can say, you know what, I'm winning at this tax game. A lot of times we come across people who we look at their situation and we're like, you know, right? I mean, you can't really tell them, like, hey, if you just did this and this in the past, you'd be in much better shape. But we can help you going forward win at the tax game, right? So that's why we're here today. We want to help give you some ideas to win at the tax game.
Yeah, you know, episode 10 that we recorded 2.5-3 years ago, I want to say, talks about year-end tax moves, just general tax moves that one can make regardless of their situation before the end of the year, some principles to abide by. Today, we're going to talk about a bigger picture, both helping save money on taxes now, but also planning for future tax events and getting ahead of that, being more of tax planners instead of just tax, you know, preparers in that given year. And so, you know, when I think about those, the idea of I want to save as much money on taxes, is there was something that stuck with me 2-3 years ago, Ed, is I think all of us would agree when you hear me say this, we will pay Uncle Sam our fair share of taxes, not a dime more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we'll talk about today.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Well, we have this one chart you can see briefly, and in the chart is your money has to sit in one of these three buckets. The left bucket, you got to pay taxes on that money as it's growing every year. That middle bucket, the money is deferred. You're putting it in there. You're not paying any taxes when you put it in there. It grows tax deferred, and you, when you pull it out, you got to pay taxes on it. And the right bucket, which you got to pay taxes when it goes in, but once it's growing, it grows tax free. So why am I saying this? Well, you do have control of where the money is that you have in those buckets. Sometimes you have more control, sometimes you have less, but that's one of the key areas, because if you can have ultimate control of that, it helps in the long run pay a lot less money on taxes.
That's right. Yeah, you can move money around in between buckets that we'll be talking about too, depending on your situation. And so what we first wanted to talk about today is if you are approaching or are already in what we call low income tax years, not necessarily low income years for yourself where you're still living on an X amount of income, but depending on where you take that income, it may or may not be taxed. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about when this would apply. When do I have potentially low taxable income?
Well, a super brief one is sometimes if you're in between jobs, you might have a year where you're not making as much money. I have an example of a client once who she was working in a corporate job, and then she was going to move overseas to work at another job, took some time off, and her income that year was really low. So she had money in an IRA. So what we did was we converted some of the IRA money from that middle bucket and we moved it to the right bucket. She hardly paid any money in taxes. And the reason was because, as you know, the way the tax code works is the certain amount of income you pay 10% tax on, then you pay 12%. And then as it steps up. And so we were able to convert a lot of that money into lower ones. So that's sometimes low income situations. Other times is when you're done working, you sometimes can have low income if you can control it, kind of super close to retirement or right when you retire years.
Yeah. And this is the most common of, you know, I'm 63 years old. I just stopped my full-time job. I may or may not have a part-time job, but my earned income is no longer there the way it was before. And that opens up a plethora of opportunities on the tax front. And often, because your required minimum distributions now, if you're listening to this and have yet to take a required minimum distribution, you have all the way until 73. So if I'm 63 and I'm up till 73, I got this 10-year window to take advantage of this tax game. And what do I do? And how do I make sure I capitalize?
So and sometimes what we'll do in those situations is, if you can control it and you have money in those various buckets, you can actually take your income from a certain bucket where you hardly pay any taxes on it. And then you could take some of that middle bucket and then move it to the right one. So that's something called Roth conversions. So you're converting the middle bucket to the right. You're putting it in what's called a Roth account. You could do that while you're working sometimes in your accumulation years. You could do it while you're retired sometimes. The reason why we want to get some or a good chunk into that right bucket is because once you hit it 73, the money in that middle bucket, you're required to take money out. Now Uncle Sam starts taking control of how much you take out and when you're at 73. And so we want to minimize that as much as possible in certain situations.
That's right. And so the common theme for these low income years that I want you to think of is getting as much money as possible in that right bucket. There's ways to do that. You can also contribute to a Roth 401k. If, you know, let's say you know you only have a year, month's worth of earned income in that given year, and your income this given year is going to be lower, we might want to stuff that Roth, you know, use the rest of that earned income into the Roth, because that tax deduction now isn't that big. If I have a high income year, I want those tax deductions. If I have a low income year, I might only pay 10 or 12% taxes. Why would I put it in the middle bucket? I want to put it in the right bucket. So that's what I want you to think about. And there's many more ways to do it, but this is the theme of getting that money in a tax-free.
The last thing around that Roth is check at your work. You may have the opportunity to put a very large amount of money into a Roth, into the right bucket. A lot of times people think about it as only IRA, but 403Bs and 401k accounts now allow you to put $22,500 into a Roth bucket if you're under age 50, 30,500, this is as of 2024, into the right bucket. So if you're not sure how to kind of manage and gauge all this, that's where, you know, talking to a financial planner and sometimes maybe your accountant can help you make these determinations.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another nuanced piece, this probably sounds a little counterintuitive than what you've heard on Google.com and Investopedia and other people is, you know, in those low income years, I would look at realizing gains in your taxable account. Is that a possibility to realize gains? Why would you want to realize gains now when we can just keep waiting and waiting and have to pay later? It's because you can reset your cost basis for your future. This is tax planning more now about your long-term future. If I'm paying short-term capital gains, for example, meaning I've held the position in less than a year and my income's super low, it might only be 10 or 12% taxes I pay on that. And I can get those gains out of the picture, reset my cost basis. So I'm buying them now. And for the future, I have a lot less taxes. So that's another item to consider in these low income years.
Yeah. And if you're able to control your income in certain situations and you have some capital gains over here that you can control or can't control, if you can get your income low enough, sometimes you don't have to pay any, or you could pay even just 15% versus 20%. There's ways of controlling these taxes. Every situation is different. That's why we're throwing a lot at you right now. And what happens is when you hit one lever, it affects another lever. And so that's why it's important to kind of think about all of these in one big picture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we'll share one other one with you. And again, the takeaway is let's see how we can get as much money as in that right bucket and the money that I am earning. How do I pay the least amount of tax on? But Social Security, certainly there's an analysis that needs to be done around when should I take Social Security. Mm-hmm. But a factor in that is if I'm in a low income year and there's an argument, maybe I should take it either now or in a couple years, I might want to think about taking it now if I got no income tax I pay on it,
right,
for a period of time, you know?
Sometimes people just make the Social Security decision on, you know, one factor of like, oh, I want the income now, or should I wait until age 70 because it's going to pay me more? Those are super important. That might be more important, but the tax piece about how it affects everything else is also a contributing factor that really, really is important to take into account.
So now that we've touched a little bit on those low income years, those big opportunities, let's look at the contrary, the higher income years. When we don't like paying Uncle Sam, when we know there's a lot of taxes coming our way, how can we minimize taxes during those environments? Let's talk about some.
So one major one is putting money into these retirement plans that we've talked about. So we would want to put money into defined contribution plans, which are 401ks, 403bs, even an IRA account. This all is pre-tax money, goes into that middle bucket. You don't pay taxes while it's growing. And then another one for certain situations, some people are able to put money into these things called defined benefit plans, which you could put large sums of money into. When you put these amounts of money in, it automatically lowers what you have to pay taxes on. So let's say you make $250,000 in a year and you put $50,000 into these, you only pay taxes on the 15, whether, and then you get a standard deduction or you get itemized deductions, but it can significantly lower the amount of money you pay in taxes by contributing to these.
Yeah. Yeah. A big one that we love talking about because of how many wins you receive from this is if you are charitably inclined, seriously look at large contributions to charities. Doesn't mean you have to give them directly to charities that given year, but there are charitable giving funds. We recorded a podcast on that you can do to front load the amounts, put in large amounts of money for a period of time that you're planning on giving, getting the tax break now. Tax loss harvesting is another one. I mean, you want to look at all these ways to minimize taxes and just be aware of what they are. So
when you do the charitable giving, you want to figure out, are you giving to charities every year? Sometimes people are like, you know, once in a while I might give mine to alma mater, or there might be certain things I'll do. So they might be not charitably giving into non-for-profits every year. Or if they do every year, there's sometimes certain ways where we can get bigger deductions. If you double gift in 1 year and if you put it in one of these donor advised funds, then you give it out over the 2 years. We do that with some clients. And then if you're going to have a really big year and you're getting a lump sum for something and you have to pay taxes on it, whether it's capital gains or ordinary income or earned income, you might want to put a bunch into one of these donor advised funds, even if you're not going to give it all to the charities right away. Get a big deduction that year, because if you get a very large sum of money, then you're going to be paying taxes at the highest bracket and you want to avoid that. So it depends, but this is where strategies and tax planning is super important if you're charitably inclined.
Yeah, yeah. We actually love combining charitable giving with Roth conversions, which we talked about earlier. If I'm going to convert $50,000 from a traditional IRA to a Roth, and I got to pay income tax on that, I might put $50,000 into a charitable giving fund to help offset that, where I, in fact, don't. And so, you know, one of the takeaways here within the tax code, now, again, I know we don't need to be exact tax experts. That's what an accountant is for. But so many times we come across people missing out on the fact that you can actually itemize on your taxes. They just look at the standard deduction. That's what I've been taking for 15 years. So don't think about it. If circumstances in your life have changed, you want to make sure you consider itemizing. There are a lot of things you might be able to itemize to write off more than what the standard deduction
allows. The big ones are state and local taxes. You can get up to like 10 grand of deductions there. Mortgage interest on your first $750,000 of mortgage in both primary and secondary homes. You get real estate deduction taxes, and then the charitable. And so when you add all these up, sometimes it's more than what the standard deduction is. That's super important to work with your accountant and maybe a financial planner on. You had mentioned something regarding tax loss harvesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to super briefly kind of explain what that means and why it's important. So if you buy an investment, it doesn't matter if it's a publicly traded, super easy, like mutual fund or stock or anything, or you buy a piece of property or any other investment and it loses money and you sell it, that's a loss. That loss that you get from that investment, you can actually use to offset gains on other investments. And in fact, those losses can be carried to future years. We have some clients, I have a handful of clients who unfortunately had a bad business deal go, or they actually had been trading too much and lost a tremendous amount of money during one of the bear markets. And they kept these tax losses and they offset them for gains in the future. So while no one wants losses, we can use those in a strategic way. So that's important. Another one is taking losses in a year and using them to offset gains in that same year. And so we want to do that because, like you said, it resets things and helps us control the taxes more. So super important to be able to take advantage of if you can.
Yeah, yes. Missed opportunity if you haven't done that in a taxable account. Final note on this high income years, this is certainly on an exception only basis. It may not always apply. I want to use that caveat, but you may want to think about taking from a Roth IRA. You may want to think about taking from your HSA for medical expenses if they come up, if those income years are super high in it, and you'll go into the next tax bracket if you do. It's worth looking at. Now, again, that may impact things later because the general idea is we love that right bucket for later and letting it grow tax-free. But there are exceptions. I mean, I've got clients who they need to keep their income below a certain amount because of the medical benefits they're receiving. And so how do we make sure we do that? Well, we might want to tap into those tax-free buckets briefly for that given year.
You said final, but I have one more thing. There is an opportunity that you can, when you reach age 70 and a half, you could start gifting to charities out of your middle bucket pre-tax accounts. And so if you're charitably inclined, sometimes we want to gift cash, sometimes we want to gift appreciated securities, but we have a lot of clients who take those required minimum distributions or at age 70 and a half, and they gift those or part of those to the charities. I mean, that's pretty incredible. You put the money in pre-tax, it grew tax deferred, and now it goes tax-free to the charities. So that's like one of the ones you really want to take advantage of.
Such a good point. It's a dollar for dollar write-off here. So, you know, you can actually start doing QCDs at 70 and a half, despite the RMDs, required minimum distributions, being delayed. So and that, again, another window of opportunity there.
Yeah. So those are, there's more that are out there, right? I mean, we could go on and make this a 2-hour podcast and still not cover everything, but we wanted to hit some highlights, let you know that if, you know, when we help people in the financial planning process,
This is a big one.
This is probably, for most people, the biggest. Like, if you get this one down and you have your money in decent investments, you have the right mix of investments, and you cover all those bases, even if you're average at covering all the other areas of financial planning, if you get this one right, it's monstrous, man. It can help you retire a lot sooner because you just avoid taxes and you control them.
That's right. That's right. Staying in good health on the tax front.
Yeah.
So, wonderful. With all that said, let's shift over to your favorite segment, Ed. All right. Food for thought.
I don't know. My favorite segment sometimes is taxes. So, but we'll get to the Ed's food for thought. All right. We just threw a lot of things at you when it came to taxes. Your head's probably spinning. And you're like, man, I'm going all different directions. I have something that I've eaten recently that kind of did that for me on a food front.
Wow.
So one of our favorite restaurants, it's right around the corner from the office here, that my son has worked at for numerous years. Mm. It's called Burger Social. We've said great things about it. They have awesome burgers. Well, the company that owns Burger Social actually owns like 4 or 5 different restaurants.
I didn't know that.
And one of them that they opened earlier than Burger Social years ago is in the town next door. It's in Glen Ellen. It's called Maize and Mash. And they have a variety of different types of foods. One of them is a few awesome burgers. They don't have nearly as many burgers because, you know, Burger Social is specifically on burgers. But they had an appetizer that also can be a version of a main meal called the Nashville Chicken Bao. So
sounds fancy.
It's, if you ever had what a bao is?
No.
Okay. They're these like super soft kind of, they're an Asian, like dumpling kind of, but soft. They're about that big and they're really, really soft if made right. Inside of it, it has this hot Nashville chicken meat. They also have a hot Nashville chicken sandwich, which, you know, I wasn't sure if I should say both, but that one's there. But I'm mainly talking about this appetizer. It's an awesome appetizer. Try out Maize and Mash and try that. I would encourage you. It doesn't matter. It's awesome.
We will post the location and the menu.
Well, just that specific thing.
Perfect.
But I mean, the food there a lot. My actually daughter works at that one now. So she's a waitress there. So
you can say hi to Callie.
Yeah, right. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas around taxes, how to control taxes and win at the tax game. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.